love the end of that video and the idea that, you know, to be still and know that I am God, and the way that ties in with that last worship song and this idea that we are, and it's kind of this ironic thing to me, this idea that we are here to worship a God, and we're saying a name, Yahweh, that the Israelites wouldn't breathe it because it was such a holy name. And this idea that God wants to speak to us, it just kind of floors me that's what we get to kind of take advantage of. Now, some of you haven't been here maybe for a couple of weeks, and you're looking and thinking, okay, that's not the guy that was speaking the last time I was here. And you're right. Okay, Mike Mazingo, our senior pastor, had a wonderful opportunity this week that a lot of pastors don't get very frequently, is that he had a chance to take his wife to the beach. So he called me Tuesday and said, hey, got this opportunity to go to the beach. Would you mind speaking for me? And I said, you know, most definitely, because, again, most pastors don't get those opportunities. And so he asked me to speak. My name is Wade Brackens, and I am one of the elders here at Journey. Now, I just so you kind of understand, I am a teacher kind of by trade. So it's not, you know, standing up in front of people and talking is not necessarily an overly uncomfortable thing for me. I'm just normally standing in front of, you know, 18 to 26th and 7th graders. And when I'm speaking, I'll speak a little bit. I'll ask questions and those types of things. So kind of this process of speaking for 35 continuous minutes is a little bit different for me. And I know enough about myself to know what will happen or what can happen to me. You know, breath kind of gets shorter, whatever, and I will start speaking faster. I was talking with somebody earlier today, and even though I kind of grew up in Alabama, spent a lot of time in Alabama and stuff like that, somehow I didn't get the slow, you know, the whole South comes out of your mouth every time you talk. I didn't get that. So I will start to talk a little fast at times if I'm not careful. So I thought, okay, how do I deal with that? And so what I've chosen to do, okay, and William Andrews doesn't even recognize, didn't even know beforehand, but I'm giving William permission today that if I start speaking too fast, all right, he can throw something at me from back there. All right, now I know some of you are already thinking, right, okay, no, okay, William's the only one with that permission. Nobody else does, okay, particularly those on the back row. And here's the reason why, okay? If William throws something at me from up here, I'll see it. And I got time to kind of dodge it. If you're on the back row with the way these lights are, it's like an airplane landing. I can't even see you back there hardly. So you throw something at me, I'm not going to see it. It's going to hit me in the forehead. I'm going to fall face down on the stage up here, and it's going to get real ugly real fast, okay? So William, if I do, just start throwing things at me. And I'll try to work on it, make sure I don't get to going there. Now, we do have a destination today. We are trying to get somewhere. I am going to continue the series that Mike began about 3 weeks ago on discerning the voice of God. We've kind of got it, you know, kind of all over the place here that's where we are going. And Mike has, again, he's spent the last few weeks going there. And we're going to start off with the same scripture that Mike has been working with. It's kind of our launching point to get us going. I'm going to read it out of my Bible. It should be there on your note taker. I think it'll be up on the screen. If you just kind of follow along to kind of get us started. This is in John chapter 10, and it's verses 22 through 30. It says, then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. And that last phrase there in this next verse is really kind of the key verses within this particular passage that we've been working from. It says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And we've been kind of working from that particular set of verses. Like I said, I'm trying to get my notes rearranged here. There we go. Okay. We've been kind of working from there. And just to kind of really try to quickly recap what Mike has mentioned in the previous lessons here, in the previous sermons. First thing is that we need to be intentional about listening for God. about listening to God's voice. We need to kind of set some parameters and get rid of distractions and those types of things. It needs to be something that we intentionally step into. And then once we do, once we kind of set that intentionality, that intentional time aside, and we are doing that, we need to expect that we're going to actually hear from God. We don't need to just make it a religious practice. Okay, great. You know, it's this time of the morning. Got my coffee. Got my breakfast in front of me. Okay, scriptures are there. Cool, cool, great, great. Got that off my list. And then we kind of go on. That we actually need to expect God to say something to us. Now, in that expectation as well, last week Mike's message was about the idea of actually waiting for God to speak. We don't, you know, this is real difficult for us because we tend to be impatient, right? We want, you know, we want that answer right now. Come on, God, give me the answer right now. And we don't want to wait. And Mike used the example last week of Abraham and Sarai thousands of years ago, right? Who basically God gives a promise. It doesn't come through really quickly. And so, okay, let's create our own way to help God out. And so we need to be patient and we need to wait for God. Now, what we're going to move into today is this idea of, okay, if God is speaking and we're going to do all of this and we're going to kind of put ourselves in situations to hear from God, then where does God speak or how does God speak when it's that time? Check out this video here for a couple of minutes to maybe give us a little bit of insight into that.
We're looking for room 7. Hello? Yeah, seems to be. Kind of bright, though.
Yeah, it is for most people. Spend their lives in the dark trying to hide from me.
Well, the elevator's broken, huh?
Yeah, but I'll get around to it.
You installed the clapper?
No, but catch a jingle, isn't it?
Clap on, clap off. Clap on, clap on. The clapper.
Just can't get it out of my head, man.
Well, good luck with that. I'm going to go now.
Okay. Would the boss be right out?
You must be Bruce. I've been expecting you.
This is hilarious. So you're the boss and the electrician and the janitor. Must be a killer Christmas party. Don't get drunk, though. One of you might need a ride home.
You always were funny, Bruce. Just like your father. He didn't mind rolling up his sleeves either, son. People underestimate the benefit of good old manual labor. It's freedom in it. Some of the happiest people in the world go home smelling to high heavens at the end of the day.
Murray, what is this? How do you know my father, and how'd you get my pager number?
Oh, I know quite a lot about you, Bruce. Just about everything there is to know. Everything you've ever said, or done, or thought about doing, right there in that file cabinet.
Wow, a whole drawer just for me. Yeah. Mind if I take a look?
It's your life.
This ought to be good.
Last entry was a little disturbing. The gloves are off, God. God has taken my bird and my bush. God is a mean kid with a magnifying glass. Fight me, almighty spider.
For those unfamiliar, that is this is a kind of a beginning part from a movie called Bruce Almighty. Jim Carrey is Bruce, not really happy with his life, and God basically is kind of God in the form of Morgan Freeman in this situation, is trying to give him the opportunity to be God for a day. And as you can kind of imagine, over the course of the movie, that doesn't work out so well. But I really wanted to show that more so to kind of help us see that, yeah, there are some kind of confusing perspectives out there on how God speaks. right? Kind of shows up like this. If anybody, you know, for those in really kind of the older generation like me, you know, a similar movie, Oh God, with George Burns, right? How do we? And so this idea of how does God speak? And we kind of struggle with that and wrestle with that and wanting to hear, but in wondering exactly how he goes about speaking to us. And so that's what I really want to kind of talk about today. And if we kind of look at this, we actually, from a scriptural standpoint, we can get some pretty good insight. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, again, it's on your outline. It'll be up here on the screen. Talks a little bit about this. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. And again, that's Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And what that tells us basically is that in the course of time, God has spoken in a variety of ways. Right? A variety of ways. We know that God has spoken audibly. We can look in the scriptures and kind of spoken a way that people heard the voice. You know, a lot of times what he was said was written down. Okay, so the Ten Commandments kind of being etched and Moses writing the laws down and those types of things. As the scripture says, the prophets, okay, in particular when we look in the Old Testament, we see the prophets speaking, and even up to the point that when Jesus came, right, Jesus was there speaking the words of God. And it's interesting because when we look particularly in those Old Testament ways, there was often an unexpected methods. And I want to kind of present this, and if you can kind of envision with me, just kind of imagine a bunch of guys at a party. Now this is a decent party, right? Everybody's not sitting around getting drunk. Okay, but when you got a bunch of guys at a party, especially the older we get, it tends to get to a point where we start telling stories, right? We want to kind of talk about the glory days of our past. And as we tell those stories, guys, we then try to, before we start talking, we're thinking, okay, can my story beat that story, right? Can I one-up this guy's story? And again, particularly the older we get, those stories get even better and better with time. All right, so I want you to kind of imagine some of these Old Testament characters, right? And later in life, they're kind of sitting around, at the table. They kind of got through and then finally said, hey, and the topic of how God spoke to them comes up. And the first one's Adam. He's kind of sitting there. It's like, you know, I wasn't born or anything. I just kind of appeared a full-grown human being, which is a little mind-blowing in and of itself. Full-grown human being, and I'm kind of trying to even figure out who the other person is with me. What I recognize is I'm walking through this garden. There's God. You know, and God decides that the way he's going to talk to me is on these daily walks through the garden. You know, and as he's kind of laughing at me as I'm giving names to the animals and to the plants, right? He's kind of giggling, right? But that's just kind of a cool way for God to speak, right? And, you know, Abraham and Isaac are kind of sitting there and they're like, well, really can't beat that one, because that's kind of the way God spoke to us, right? Just kind of this day-to-day conversation with me. Jacob, though, he's like, hey, granddad and dad, I got it. He says, now, all you guys kind of sometimes sitting around talking about your trick basketball knee and the way that you were an amazing basketball player until the time that you got that trick knee. Well, you know, how about having a trick hip because you wrestled with God, right? Yeah, God comes down and wrestles with me. It's here. I know some of y'all are looking like, what are you talking? It's in there, right? That God comes down and actually wrestles with Jacob and talks to him, okay? And so everybody's like, yeah, okay, yeah, you kind of got us on that one. I'm not so sure I can beat that one. Until Moses stops and says, okay, that's fine. God comes down and wrestles with you. That's fine. He says, but just imagine being out in the middle of the desert. Now, I know we don't have deserts here in Alabama. So to help us kind of picture this a little bit, I want you to picture, with Moses, I want you to picture being in the middle of Dietzville, okay? Because here's what I've come to find out about Dietzville. Okay, it feels like it's out in the middle of nowhere, and I feel like if I feel like I'm going to go see somebody that lives in Dietzville, I need to pack a lunch. Because when somebody tells me they live in Dietzville, I don't know if they live 5 minutes from my house or 45 minutes. Dietzville seems to cover most of Autauga County. Okay, so I haven't quite figured that one out, so you can kind of imagine on that. And Moses says, hey, I'm out in the middle of the desert, and this bush just catches on fire. Okay, spontaneous combustion in the middle of the desert. All right, whatever, we can kind of get that. He says, but then God starts speaking out of the bush. That's where I hear God's voice, is out of this bush. And to make it even more crazy, the bush doesn't burn up. It just keeps on. There goes the flames, flames, and God's talking to me. And everybody else is like, I think he may have us on that. And then sitting at the table, a couple tables over, another guy kind of raised his hand. And he's not sitting with these guys because he's a little bit of the rebel. He's the guy that really wasn't one that did what God told him to do very often, but God still spoke to him. He kind of raised his hand and says, hey guys, I got one. And everybody kind of looks over and says, well, who's the new kid? And he says, my name's Balaam. Says, you know, and I was a prophet, but I pretty much was a prophet to the highest bidder. Whatever they wanted me to say, I would say. And there's one time I'm out there riding along on my donkey, and I'm kind of going where God wants, but I'm not really. Okay, and God's trying to get my attention to stop me from going and doing what I'm going to do. I'm not listening. And finally, you know, my donkey, you know, God's making my donkey do crazy things, and I just keep beating the donkey, right? Kind of beating the messenger kind of thing. He said, finally, the donkey just stops, turns around and looks at me and starts talking. Yep, it's there. Okay, yeah, it's there, right? That God spoke to Balaam through his donkey. So, you know, Shrek has nothing on Balaam, okay? We got Balaam. So really some crazy ways that God chose to speak, particularly in the Old Testament. But to be honest with you, I think in a way, that's kind of the way that we wish that God would do things. And I think we do that because I think we lose sight of the timeline of scriptures. Because it's all kind of encased in a book and we got a cover, so we got a front cover, we got a back cover. And the way that we are with books sometimes, I think we can really lose sight of just how much time is covered in these scriptures. There's at least about 4,000 years covered in the scriptures. And what we may forget is that sometimes the time between God speaking is a pretty good bit of time. But because it's all in this book, we think that's the way God speaks all the time, that he does all these crazy kind of things. I mean, if you just go to the end of the Old Testament, go to the end of Malachi, turn the page, you get to the first page of the New Testament, there's 400 years and God says nothing. 400 years of God not speaking at all. And again, if we kind of realize and understand the timeline in the scriptures, we understand that while God did speak in some really crazy ways, in some really miraculous and spectacular ways, it's not as though he did that every single day. He actually has some spans of time. So if we're expecting that that's the way God is going to speak all the time, then that probably contributes to some of our frustration if we're there. But our tendency is to want God's spectacular voice. But the current reality of things is that the scriptural collection, this or whatever form you have the scriptures in, iPad or, I'm sorry, an app on your phone or something like that, this scriptural collection, and it's God-breathed, it is true, it is authoritative, but this is his most frequent, readily available, and chosen method to speak to us today. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't use one of these other ways. I mean, God's God. And just because he doesn't very frequently speak in those spectacular ways doesn't mean that he never will. I mean, if he wanted to take over the PA system in here and start speaking through these speakers instead of you hearing me, he could do that. And some of you are probably thinking, really wish he would. But he could. Okay, so I'm not saying that God couldn't do that. But the most consistent way that he has chosen to speak to us is through this. And so if we really want to hear what he's saying, then probably behooves us to really kind of understand some things about digging into this word. And so I've got a statement there that I'm going to kind of use the rest of the time to unpack, if you will, kind of take some bits and pieces out of to maybe help us as we approach his word to help us hear what he has to say. And here's it. It says, God's scripture, God's voice, God's word to us through the scriptures can be understood. So that's going to be kind of the first point that I hit. Can be understood as the Holy Spirit works. Okay, so it's going to be kind of the second thought there, as the Holy Spirit's work through it. Through our humble efforts, so we'll talk a little bit about that, using ordinary means. And we're going to kind of break those four points down. So God's scripture to us can be understood as the Holy Spirit works through our humble efforts using ordinary means. So let's hit that first point. This idea that the scriptures can be understood. And I think the best way to kind of break that down for us is don't overcomplicate it. Don't overcomplicate things when it comes to the scriptures. We need to get beyond being intimidated by the Bible, being intimidated by the scriptures. And just for illustration purposes, I got a couple things up here. Try to pick this thing up and not tear it apart. It belongs to my mother-in-law, who I like, and I think she likes me, and I'd like to keep it that way and not tear up her Bible. But in your house, it may have been opened up, right? It weighs like 8,000 pounds. It was typically opened up probably to one page, and the page was going to tear if you tore it, because it had been sitting there for so long on that page that surely something was else. Now, if you didn't have one of those, if you're not as familiar with that, maybe you've kind of seen or had something like the seminary, got all my wonderful notes, I'm going to go learn from my big Bible. Aren't you impressed with my beside the head when you're going to visit and the big mean dog comes out? You could use it for that. Okay. Has all of the same content, just in smaller letters that I now have to use glass. Regardless of the size, though, particularly if in your early years this, you know, being, you can see how we might get a little intimidated, right? That's big. And so I'm a reader, and so surely if I'm not a reader, I'm not going to pick up something like that, okay, to intimidated by the scriptures. But we need to get beyond that, because God says that His and God is trying to talk to us about through His scriptures are not following. God has spent the previous books giving the Ten Commandments, all the people together, and says, okay, here are the laws. And here's what God says about those who today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. We'll ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. And God's really straightforward there. And He's saying, guys, I've tried to make this a little easy for you. It's not difficult. If we look a little bit later, we can read through the Psalms. And in one of the places, one of the psalmists says, and he's kind of talking about us. I mean, our simple-mindedness, right? He's made it to where it gives light to us as simple people. Numerous times, and I've got just the chapters there during the Gospels where Jesus said, haven't you read? Haven't you read? I mean, people were coming up and asking Him questions about various things, and His answer a lot of times, as we can kind of see there, haven't you read? Not trying to ridicule them. It's not as though He's ridiculing them in this, but He's kind of putting it back on them to say, look, you're asking questions that I've already addressed. They're addressed in the Word, and they're pretty simple. Go back and read these, and God will reveal those answers. And Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, if we kind of go through the New Testament, so much of that is written by Paul. And a lot of those are letters to churches. And when you look at the way that he greeted them, he didn't say, okay, this is Paul writing to the preacher who I need to kind of break this word down so then he can make it simple for you. No, he says, I'm writing this to the church. So when the scriptures are written, they're written to us in a way that we should be able to sit down and grasp those. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more. I'm going to talk a little bit more about, you know, some of the methods there that kind of go beyond that. But we've got to get beyond being intimidated by the scripture. If we really want to hear God's voice, we've got to understand that we can dig into something that God gave us that we can understand. Now, yes, it is something that we can understand. God did not make it too difficult for us. But it's very clear, though, that we still need to rely on the Holy Spirit. That in the process of reading, for us to truly get the revelation and get what God is wanting to give us, then yes, the Holy Spirit has to be a part of that. A moderately educated person can read the words, but meaning is going to be revealed. Here's how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. I think it's very obvious there what Paul is trying to get across to us, that as we are taking it in and learning it, then yes, we need the Holy Spirit to actually be revealing the different things that he's trying to get across to us. Jesus and Paul and other places and in multiple other scriptures, we see that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to teach us. Right? So it's very clear that that's one of his roles. Now, with that said, one of the things that we need to understand is what God is trying to get across to us. A lot of times when we kind of say, hey, I really need to hear the voice of God, maybe you can identify with this. We're in the middle of a situation. We're in the middle of a circumstance where, God, I need you to tell me something, right? We're looking for what God wants us to do. Okay, God, tell me what to do here. Come on, God, tell me what to do here. God, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. And it's do, do, do. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? which kind of really sets it up to set things up for us to then begin to rely on our own actions. And we're trying to figure out, and I think my mic just went out. Did my mic just go out? Okay, I'll start yelling. Okay, or is there a handheld one up here? Oh, let's try it again. There we go. It's back, at least for now. Okay, we're trying to figure out what to do and what to do and what to do and what to do. Okay, sometimes what God is really wanting to do is to reveal himself. We need to be ready for God to reveal himself more than we're trying to figure out what it is that God wants us to do. What about his character? What about his ways? What about his grace and his mercy and his strength and his power? What is he trying to reveal about himself? Because a lot of times when we understand more about what about him, we begin to remember that it's him actually doing things and not us. Okay, so when he reveals himself, we can then focus on his sufficiency rather than our circumstance, rather than whether we're going to get out of the circumstance. As we understand that part of God, as we understand whatever part of himself he's trying to teach us, as we understand that part better and we understand him better, then we begin to grow in faith and in trust. And when we have more faith and more trust, we're not as concerned about whether I'm going to get out of the situation. I'm going to be more concerned about whether God's walking with me through the situation, which is going to be a lot more peaceful, I think, as we go through things. Okay? So we don't need to overcomplicate things as we go to the scriptures. We need to understand that the Spirit is going to be the one helping us in that process, and that sometimes, again, it's not a solution that he's revealing. Sometimes it is himself that he's revealing. And then the next thing we need to understand as we go through these scriptures is recognize that understanding what God is saying is a journey. It's not an accomplishment. It's not that we are trying to sit there and kind of come up with the wonderful answer that gets us out of it, and then we tend to kind of forget. And then maybe 6 months later, 8 months later, 1 year later, we find ourselves in another situation and in another circumstance. Okay, God, I need you to come through again. Okay? No, it's the day-to-day journey where we actually hear God. You know, I talked about Adam. It's not as though God says, okay, Adam, here, you hear, okay, go give names to the animals, give names to the plants, and I'll be back in a few years to talk to you again. He didn't do that, right? It was just that day-to-day walk. And when we're doing that, when we're walking kind of in a day-to-day sense and we're kind of seeing the words over and over again, what happens? God begins to then show us new things each time we take it in. Maybe the same word that we read last week, and it's the same words, but God then takes something new and shows us that through his scriptures. Joshua 1:8 and Psalm 1:3 and many other verses. Those are not the only two, but those are two very specifically that tell us and that command us to be in the scriptures day and night as we sit, as we go, over and over. So the idea is that it's not just, okay, I'm coming on Sunday, I'm going to listen, hopefully I get a good word on Sunday because I'm not going to be back at it again until Sunday again. But day to day, and I can hear what God is trying to talk to me about and revealing about himself on that day to day journey. Now, sin can definitely be a hindrance in that journey. Okay? And I'm not saying this is the case all the time. Sometimes we're just needing to wait for what God is saying. But sometimes we may not be hearing what God is telling us about this given situation because the other things that God has already told us in the past, we're just not doing. One illustration I kind of heard about this concept this week, as I was thinking about it, was kind of approaching a mountain. Right? And if you got a mountain out in front of you, it's pretty easy, kind of tall out there. And there are some things that you can see about a mountain from hundreds of miles away or tens or twenties of miles away. You can tell there's snow up on top. Right? You can kind of tell where the tree line starts. Okay, so there's a lot of different things that you can tell. Well, God's Word is very similar. There are parts of God's Word that you don't have to be, just, oh my goodness, incredibly in-depth to truly understand. Where it talks about God being the creator of the world, that's such one of those pretty big things that you can kind of see just from, standing a good ways back from it. The fact that God has this passionate love for us that caused him to send his son to the cross for our sins. That's one of those really big things that we don't have to get really, really close to see. Now, as you get closer to a mountain, you then begin to understand, wow, now I saw the tree line. Now I see what type of tree is there. And I see what type of animals are living here. Things I couldn't see way back. I kind of got a little closer, a little closer, a little closer. When we think about it in terms of, you know, of going to the Scripture, that's when God starts to show us some of those kind of smaller things. But a lot of times we never get that close because we don't really recognize the big things. Or we've recognized the big things that God showed us and we're just neglecting those. You know, where God was pretty clear about not being lustful, or about not committing adultery, or about not taking his name in vain, right? Those big things that we've seen that we just really don't like. And so we've decided, okay, I don't really need to do that. Yet we get into a situation where we really want God to fix it for us. And God's saying, you know, what about these things that you already know to do? Mark Twain, who is not, you know, definitely not known as a lover of Scripture or love of anything God, or of anything of God, one time said, it ain't the things in the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the things I do understand. And I think that can apply to us a lot of times. You know, again, those big things that I'm just choosing not to follow and they're kind of inconvenient for me. Okay? But then we kind of want to go to God and expect Him to give us those other answers. So we need to, as we're taking this journey, we do need at times to stop and say, God, I'm not hearing your voice. Is it some sin that I'm just not letting go of? And we need to be honest with God and let Him be honest with us and show us that. Okay, so don't overcomplicate it. Let the Spirit be the one to teach us and recognize that it's a day-to-day journey, day-to-day, year-to-year journey. And then the last thing, as we try to do that, then what we need to understand and we need to recognize and take advantage of the ordinary means that are in front of us that God has used to give us those words. And the first one is that Scripture, we have the Scripture in our mother tongue. I got 3 different copies of the Bible up here. If I were to go to my house and kind of go to my shelves, I could probably pull out about 30 more. I probably have more Bibles in my house than there are in some countries in the world. I mean, that's what we have in this nation in the English language. There are more versions of the Scriptures in the English language than we can count. So it's very simply there in front of us. And so if we are intimidated by what's there, sometimes maybe what we need to do is just find that version that, as long as it's, you know, based on the proper interpretations, we need to find that one that we can best understand. So we need to take advantage of that and not, again, not let it just kind of slip by. The second way, the second means that God uses to get the word to us is through teachers. And that can be the, you know, kind of the professionally trained teachers who go to seminary and kind of learn to kind of break things down, distill them, you know, the way Mike does on that weekly basis. Or you may, you know, listen to it through a podcast or something like that. So there are those trained teachers, but we also kind of have the people just in our day-to-day lives. You know, maybe a father, a mother, a teacher at school, a friend who, or an older person who's been through the stage of life that you're in and you're trying to kind of sort things out. Who is that person that can be that teacher to kind of help break things out for us? And teachers are kind of tied to this next one, which is community. You actually have community. God has given us community and has brought us into community to kind of help learn from each other. Past community, like the church fathers and some amazing writings of these people who have, through the years, kind of struggled with Scripture to kind of have it here for us today. Okay, so that kind of that past community, and then the present community, okay, which for your next blank you can kind of fill in. That's our life groups, and I'm one of the coaches on part of the team of the life group coaches, and we'll be starting kind of the promotion for that and getting started for that in the fall semester here pretty soon. And I really want to encourage you in that because again, that is an amazing, you know, just ordinary means of sitting down around a table with other people and talking about the Scriptures and talking about life and where life is. Okay. So if I go back and read that statement once again, okay, God's Scripture to us can be understood as the Holy Spirit works through our humble efforts using ordinary means, which hopefully then draws us to the point of being able to meditate. Now, I want to kind of recap some ideas that are not on your note taker, so you can kind of look up from that for just a second. Because as I was putting this together this week, and actually, be honest with you, I kind of stole this. Kind of go out there and you kind of find some ideas. We talked about those ordinary means and from some other preachers and some other pastors out there. But what really hit me as I was thinking through that this week and thinking through all of this entire series of discerning the voice of God, was one idea that kept hitting me and God wouldn't let me let go of. And it's this. None of what Mike has said to this point, none of what I've said to this point matters unless we really want to hear. And in our process of kind of sorting through why we're not hearing from God, if we feel like we're not hearing from God, sometimes we got to really ask ourselves, do we really want to hear? And again, that's been the most convicting thing for me this whole week. And I kind of brought it down to this idea. And I'm kind of asking the question, so I'll kind of ask you the same question to maybe answer this. Is how close are we to the author of Psalm 119? Right. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter, the largest chapter in the Bible. You go back in, it looks 176 verses. And when you really take the time to look at it, what the psalmist did is he sat down and he basically wrote a prayer. And this prayer covers a lot of different areas of life, kind of a lot of different times where he's praising God and he's doing all kinds of things and he's praying to God. And out of that 176 verses, at least 170 of those verses always come back to a reference to God's commands, God's words. Sometimes it's saying, God, show me your commands so that I can do this. God, give me a love for your commands so that I can do this. God, teach me how to live so that I honor your commands. 176 verses over and over and over. And he expresses that love for the commands of God, for the ways of God, the counsel of God. And so the question that I kind of came to for myself and I want to present to you guys to maybe ask yourselves is, do we want a steady daily intake of God's counsel as much as we want our steady daily intake of social media, of TV, of games on my phone, of going to watch my kids play sports, of whatever? I'm not saying that any of those things are bad. But do we want God's counsel as much as we want those things on a daily basis? Or are we content to just kind of go through life and then struggle in the times of hearing God's voice in the really tough circumstances and then wonder why we don't hear God's voice? And you may have heard this before, but if I'm pointing one finger out there, there's three pointing back at me. Because I have to really ask myself, how much do I really love the ways of God to the point of really taking them in on that daily basis? Now, we'll kind of go back to your note taker there for really quickly for the next steps. So some steps that we can kind of take in this. And really the first one is probably an extremely simple one. Sounds extremely simple, but are we doing it? It is read the Word on a daily basis. Be in the Word on a daily basis. And I even kind of put here that maybe as you're doing it this week, to go in and look at Psalm 119, verse 34. I'm not going to read that to you now. I challenge you to do that. But maybe pray that verse before you get started every day with the Scriptures. Second thing, maybe is buy a book, download an app, right? We got all kinds of wonderful things on our app, right? Candy Crush and, you know, whatever, Mobile Strike and whatever game we've got. And we're always talking about the apps on our phone. How about an app for maybe a church out there that has sermon podcasts? I mentioned earlier, the Village Church out of Texas is a wonderful one that I really like to listen to. But maybe that's a place, something that where we can take in that scripturally sound word on a very frequent basis. Okay, and then the last one there again, join a life group. When that opportunity presents itself here in about a month or so, please take advantage of that. Because, again, the community is a huge, huge way that God takes the time to get the word to us. So then we can actually meditate on it. Would you bow with me, please? Now, some of you possibly be here and this, you know, you're not even sure where you are on this search for Jesus. You may have just kind of shown up with a friend today. Maybe your spouse kind of dragged you out again. Not real sure, but you're just not sure this whole Jesus thing makes any sense anyway, that God makes any sense anyway at all. Some of you, you're kind of somewhere in that journey. It's been kind of appealing to you maybe, but you're just not quite sure. And I want you to know that that's where you are. That's kind of why we exist as a church. Because we haven't got it all figured out either. But we're trying to, you know, understand this whole irony, like I said earlier, of this Creator God who decided to step in, become really, really dirty and be a part of us and continue to speak to us. And so our prayer is that as you're here with us, that you're starting to be drawn to Him. I mentioned earlier that we can't understand the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit drawing us. The Scripture's pretty clear too, that if you're feeling that draw towards God, it's not you. It's God drawing you. The Scripture's really clear that we're not the ones seeking God out. That is God seeking us out. And this idea of Him speaking to us in the first place is just an indication of how much He is reaching out to us. And so if you're in that spot, I challenge you today to just take the time to listen. And maybe just kind of take a little bit of a closer step to that reality. Some of you have been on that journey for a while and you're like, yes, I finally get it. And you're just kind of being overwhelmed by this love and you're ready to take that step. I challenge you to find a friend, find an elder, find somebody after the service. Come say, look, I'm now starting to get it. I'm now starting to understand what God has done for me and I want to respond to that. For the rest of us, and maybe we've been at this for a while, and maybe we are the ones in the spot where the circumstances, the situation is not wonderful, and I just really need to hear from God. Then I hope that as we do that, that we're kind of challenged today to, on a daily basis, be in that Word. You know, ask God to reveal whether there is sin that's keeping us from hearing Him. And maybe even ask Him, hey, am I more concerned about the answer or am I really in love with You and I'm just content to be with You? And we can kind of take that in and we can begin to meditate on those things. Father, I thank You for Your Word. And again, thank You that as the Creator, You stepped into this ugly, dirty, messy place because You love us. You spoke to us through Your Son, and You keep speaking to us through Your Scriptures. And I praise You for that. Father, keep planting in us the desire. And God, if we need to repent, then accept our repentance. And God, speak to us through Your Word. Reveal Yourself to us so that, God, we see changes and we see transformation in our homes, our marriages. God, we see that in our church. Our community and in this world where the God of the universe steps in and shows us the best way to go. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.